What would you do if I sang out of tune? Would you stand up and walk out on me? Lend me your ears and I'll sing you a song. I will try not to sing out of key. Yeah. Oh, baby, how do you know?
Joe Cocker's version of the Beatles' classic Little Help from My Friends was the theme song to one of the best TV shows of the late 80s and early 90s, a show called The Wonder Years, the story of Kevin Arnold and his boyhood. Kevin Arnold, of course, played by Fred Savage, and the girl who he was best friends with, who he, well, let's be honest, lusted after, was Winnie Cooper, played by then 12-year-old Danica McKellar. Here we are nearly two decades later, and Danica McKellar is joining us this afternoon on KMOX to talk about her new book, which has nothing to do with the Wonder Years and has nothing to do with her role a couple of years ago on The West Wing, in which she played Elsie Snuffin. Instead, she's talking about math. Now, you may be thinking, what does an actress have to do with math? Well, after The Wonder Years, Danica went off to college and got herself a degree in math, and it turns out is a math genius, and has now written a book called Math Doesn't Suck, How to Survive Middle School Math. And since my daughter is 13 and next week will start into eighth grade in the Parkway schools, this is perfect for me and my family, and I think will apply to a lot of young women who may have some math anxiety, and even formerly young women who may still have math anxiety.
Why are you looking at me?
Regardless of their age.
Huh?
Danica, welcome to KMOX.
Thank you so much.
It's a pleasure to have you on here.
Oh, pleasure to be here. Thank you.
As I was reading the book, I saw that you didn't like math yourself when you were in seventh grade. What changed that?
It's not that I didn't like it so much as I was terrified of it. I just hit a point where I felt frozen. I've come home at night, I cried because I would be afraid to even try my math homework. What got me back in touch with liking math again, there were a lot of things, but the main thing is that I got a great teacher who put a friendly face on math. She just made it not seem so scary anymore, and that made all the difference. I think math has such an image of being this scary, untouchable thing, and that's one of the biggest hurdles.
You know, in all sorts of subjects, I've heard this story from so many people. I had a great teacher, and he or she was the one who set me on the course to loving this subject.
Yep.
And that's what did it for you.
We need a good translator because, you know, otherwise, look, math is a foreign language. And if you don't have someone who speaks the language fluently and who is kind and generous and understanding and patient and all the rest of it, then you're really going to be in trouble because there's no one else to translate for you.
What I like about the book is the message you're sending in a world of Paris Hilton and Britney Spears and Lindsay Lohan. You're sending the message you don't have to be attractive and stupid. You can be cute and smart, right?
Absolutely. And I'm certainly not saying to turn your back on things like fashion and fun and magazines and makeup and all the rest of the stuff that makes it fun to be girly. There's no problem with that. Of course, do those things. It's fun. And by the way, becoming a fabulous young woman that you want to be requires that you develop your intelligence. That's the most important tool. All the rest of it is decoration, and it's sure fun. So why on earth would you ever want to stop that, too?
So beautiful mind and beautiful body.
Right.
There you go.
Sure.
As I was looking around at things I wanted to talk to you about here today, I came across a review of your book in Newsweek. Do you read your reviews?
I read Newsweek.
Then I'm going to quote part of this to you, which you know already. The writer of this, Peg Tyer, says, "Do girls really need female-friendly math books today? The era when schoolgirls trailed far behind boys in math achievement is long gone. These days, girls take as many high-level college prep-type math courses as boys, and they do just about as well. And in the work world, young women are flocking to professions like accounting, medicine, and the biological sciences that depend on math." I think what this woman is saying is, we don't need your book.
Well, I think that Peg, she seems to be a big fan of the book, and she wanted to get both sides of the issue. I don't actually agree with part of what she said. I mean, I just heard something on the news about Caltech, which, of course, is an amazing, wonderful school for math science here in California, and that they now, the admitting class, I think, is 37% women, which is this amazing and wonderful breakthrough. We women are catching up, but we're not there yet. And there's something called the so-called boy crisis, because boys aren't performing. It's not that boys aren't performing as well as girls at all. It's that girls are starting to catch up to them. And this is viewed as a boy crisis. That's pretty scary.
No, I think it's a good thing. If I were a boy who was into one of these subjects that girls were not interested in, and now more girls aren't interested in that, to me, that's not a crisis. That's a good day at school.
Well, there's that, too. But in general, this society doesn't tend to value women for much besides their looks, and I think that's silly, and it's a waste, and it's a real shame.
And you know what part of the problem is also is this is a general thing that we have going on in this world, and it probably applies to girls more than it does to boys. It's the notion of, oh, you are such a nerd. You know, if you're smart and you do well, particularly in subjects like math and science, there are some of your peers who are going to look down on you for that, aren't there?
Well, no, because I don't think so. Because in terms of the nerdy thing, I think that you're either nerdy or you're not. And that's sort of independent of how smart you are.
Oh, yeah. But I'm not saying that girls shouldn't do this. I encourage my daughter to do it. I think it's wonderful. I just don't want her to come home one day and say, Dad, they're calling me a nerd and a geek because I'm good in these subjects.
I'll tell you this. Anybody, girls or boys, who are successful at anything are going to end up with some pushback. That's just the way the world works, unfortunately. People who have success tend to be criticized for it by those who are not as successful. And if you let that keep you from pursuing things you want to do, you'll never succeed.
I agree 100%. The book is Math Doesn't Suck. We're talking to Danica McKellar here on The Paul Harris Show on News Talk 1120 KMOX. When you graduated from UCLA, you published a paper on this math theorem that actually now bears your name, right?
Yes, so it's known as the Shays-McKellar-Wendt theorem. But the technical title is much longer. It's Percolation and Gibbs States Multiplicity for Ferromagnetic Ashkenteller Models on Z2.
I was going to write that paper when I was in college.
Were you? Yeah.
Yeah. I couldn't spell half the words. Is there any way you can explain it to us in 10 seconds in layman's terms?
It's based on a mathematical model of magnetic material.
Okay.
That was the 10 seconds.
Still don't get it.
It was 5 seconds. It also has to do with temperature. Temperature and the probability measures that you can build on spaces like that.
When you solve a math theorem that no one else has solved before you, do you win something? Do you get a prize? Is there anything?
You get published.
That's
They don't publish you unless it was something new.
That's pretty cool.
It's very cool. It's amazing, in fact, just to get to see your name on the little publication that that means so much. And it's in a completely different category. I mean, I'd seen my name in People magazine for as long as I can remember, and it's a fun magazine, and I'll be in it next week as well, I believe. But this was unique. This was had nothing to do with entertainment. In fact, nobody cared what my first name was. It was D. McKellar, and that was part of the beauty of it. Just really kind of a neat thing to feel. Really valued for something that has nothing to do with glamour.
You know, with your acting ability and your math knowledge, you should have been the person who starred in the show Proof.
You know, it's funny. I did that play.
Did you?
San Diego at the 600-seat theater in San Diego. I did it for a few months. We did 8 shows a week. It was amazing. I loved it.
You didn't go through the script and correct some of the math errors, did you?
No, but you know what? There really is actually not that much math in it. In the play.
Yeah.
It's about a mathematician. It's not very much about math.
Right, so
but I was used as a math consultant. People would say, oh, well, you know, what does it mean when you're getting a degree and a graduate degree, and what does it mean to be working on a paper? And so I got to explain the whole thing to them.
Very, very cool. And it's a terrific show, by the way.
And here's the thing that for my two colleagues here who have daughters, I have two sons, to one day explain to your daughters, and I wonder if you ever dealt with this, that girls, when they're smart, are intimidating, and women, when they're successful, can be intimidating to some men around them. And the one thing that we don't want girls to do is to shrink from who they really are so that they can appeal to those boys. So what do you say to girls in that regard?
I would say, what kind of boys do you want to be appealing to?
There you go.
I mean, the boys that are going to be intimidated by that probably don't have a lot to offer, and that's why they're intimidated. If you're with someone who is interesting and intelligent and can hold their own, they're not going to be intimidated. They're going to be challenged and stimulated. Unless, of course, they've been completely brainwashed by some sexist parents or whatever. But most people are, I think, emerging out of that era, I would hope. And the guys who are worth it are going to want you smart. And if they don't want you smart, you don't want them.
That's a great way to put
it. That's it, guys. Remember that.
Absolutely right.
It's so true. It's not just a saying, too, because you know what? If you end up with a guy who doesn't want you smart, you're going to end up dumbing yourself down, feeling badly about yourself, and then you're going to be asking yourself, why do I feel so bad about myself all the time? And why? Because you've trained yourself to be, because you thought that's what he wanted, and oh my gosh, not worth it. We've all done it to some extent at some point in our lives and learned the hard way that it's not fun.
When you were writing the book several years removed from middle school yourself and you're targeting girls who are 11, 12, 13, 14 years old, could you remember back to what were the toughest concepts for you to grasp at that time? And have you spoken to girls of that age and heard from them, these are the things that I can't quite figure out, please help me?
You mean math topics?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember being really confused when I saw decimals on the numerators and denominators of fractions. We're seeing like 0.6 over 1.2. And I mean, to get to the idea that that's equal to 1/2 was like, huh? I mean, I just didn't see it at all.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't figure out what to do with that. I remember that being a particularly mind-boggling symbol when I saw it in front of me, their expression. What does that even mean? So, yes, I teach that in the book for sure.
Yeah. You've got a lot of great stuff in here, and you write it. I mean, talk about being targeted. This is directly at them. What kind of reaction have you been getting from girls of that age to the book?
Well, you know, it's only been out for a few days now.
Oh.
I have been getting some emails from girls who say, I'm having so much fun. You're making math more fun than I thought it could be. And that's a wonderful response. I'm thrilled. I want them to see it as fun and accessible. That's the main point.
When I told my daughter you were going to be on the show today, she said, Dad, as soon as you're done interviewing her, I want that book. So she's looking forward to reading it before she goes into eighth grade next week.
Oh, good.
Besides the book, what else are you doing professionally? I know you were doing Inspector Mom last year. What else are you up to?
I just got back from Hawaii. I shot a TV movie there for the Sci-Fi Channel that comes out, I think, early in the year. I've got another deal that is on the table that I'm not supposed to talk about, but it's television, and we should know, we'll probably start shooting at the end of August, but again, not supposed to say. It's a network TV thing, though.
In the more than a decade since the show went off the air, has anybody ever come to you and said, we want to do a Wonder Years reunion?
Yes. Well, no one who was serious about it. Nobody who had the power to actually do it. A lot of people who want to see it. I can't tell you how many emails I've gotten from people saying, can you please, please, please do a Wonder Years reunion? And, you know, that would really be against the, that somehow would be missing the point. The Wonder Years was a show that was all about nostalgia.
Right.
And bittersweet memories and childhood lost. And you can't go back to that and then do a very Wonder Christmas with it. It doesn't work.
Yeah, I don't think we'd want to see Kevin and Winnie have settled down and now they have a group of singing triplets. We don't need that.
That's right, exactly.
Congratulations on the book and all the rest of your success. And like I said, I think you can be a terrific role model for young girls who can look at you and say, wow, you know, very attractive, very smart. I want to be like her.
Thank you so much.
The book is called Math Doesn't Suck, How to Survive Middle School Math Without Losing Your Mind or Breaking a Nail. Danica McKellar here on the Paul Harris Show on News Talk 1120 KMOX.